The reading this evening is from Exodus, and I'm starting at chapter 6, verse 28, and reading to chapter 7, verse 13, and that's on page 46 of the Black Church Bibles, and it'll be behind me as well, although the first few verses might not appear on the screen. So that's Exodus chapter 6, starting at verse 28. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, Since I speak with faltering lips, why should Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Israelites and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, When Pharaoh says to you, Perform a miracle. Then say to Aaron, Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. Then Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh summoned the wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me pray. So, Father, we've just given back to you something of all that you've given to us. We thank you so much that you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And how we pray that you would continue to provide for us, but within that you would also give us a generous spirit and a generous heart. And we thank you as we give these gifts back to you and we remember your goodness to us. Help us tonight as we look at this passage, Lord. I suppose it's not easy, really. It's a difficult passage in some ways, but we want to pray that you would enlighten our hearts. Give us a soft and a tender heart towards you. Help us to listen to you in all that you have to say to us. And we do ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. So we're into Exodus chapter 7, but here's the context for you. Thank you, Brian. And again, thank you. Chapter 4, verse 16 brings us to the end of a dialogue between God and Moses. This is the commissioning of Moses and all the difficulties that Moses brought up and about why he shouldn't go, and God wants him to go to Egypt, and he just didn't want to. And he has this very long discussion with God about what he ought to do and why he shouldn't do it. And in the end, of course, you heard last week, please send someone else. And God's angry with him, but then very graciously continues to work with him about going. And so chapter 4 and 16, God finally says to him, but take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. You need to remember that, okay? We're going to come back to it later. So in chapter 4 verse 18, Moses returns to Egypt with his wife and two sons. And then in chapter 4 and verse 21, we have a shadow of something that's going to come. Something that's going to happen within the passage we're going to look at tonight. So the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I've given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let his people go, let my people go. So we have a shadow of a hardening of Pharaoh's heart, even at this stage when Moses is still not in Egypt. And then in chapter 4 and verse 29, Moses and Aaron meet with the elders of Israel. And they explain to the elders of Israel in Egypt all that God has commissioned him to do. And they think this is wonderful because finally they understand that God has heard their cry. If you remember, much earlier in Exodus, God said, I have heard the cries of my people. And now the people understand that God has heard their cries and Moses has come to help them. And they worship God because of it. Thanks, Brian. And again, so in chapter 5 and verse 1, you have the first meeting between Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron. And very faithfully, they say to Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. But Pharaoh rejects that entirely. He gives it not even the time of day for discussion. He says, you know, who are you? Get out of my sight. Don't want to know. But not only does he reject the request of God to let his people go, he then says, I'm really going to make it feel. If you thought they had a hard time before and they were crying out to God for that, I'll make it even worse. So he says to his overseers of these slaves who are Hebrews, they're making bricks, and he says, take the straw from them. Don't even give them the straw. Now they've got to provide the same quota of bricks every day, but they've even got to find the straw as well. So he makes their work even harder. So by chapter 5 verse 20, the people are rejecting Moses' role. The Hebrews are saying, don't you come round here saying this, life gets harder. Every time you open your mouth, we're having a more difficult time. Be quiet. But anyway, he doesn't. Because in chapter 6 and verse 1, the Lord reassures Moses that actually he knows what he's doing and eventually the people will come out of Egypt. And then you have this sort of family genealogy going on in the latter part of chapter 6, which we won't go into. And then you come to verse 28. Thank you. And suddenly you have, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. Now, before you start thinking Moses is divine, and he wasn't, he was just a man, a human being, before you think he's divine, what this is trying to say is that Moses would be the representative of God to this, what would at that point be a pagan Egyptian king, who didn't recognize God for who he is, but Moses would speak to Pharaoh on behalf of God. So he's God's representative with a commission and authority to carry it out. And God will address Pharaoh through his prophet, Moses and Aaron. And verse 2, God says, say everything I command you. So we're into now a discussion again, another discussion, the briefing between God and Moses. But he says, say everything I command you. Now, it's really interesting because this is really the role of the ambassador. And so, you soon start thinking about ambassador. Your mind goes to 2 Corinthians 5. We're ambassadors for Christ. God beseeching us on his behalf, be reconciled to God. And the ambassador role is simply to represent his government's thinking to another government. So an ambassador lives in another country other than his own country, and he represents his home country to another country. He's not allowed to say what he wants to say. An ambassador must say what the government tells him to say. So he might not even agree with it. He can't go to this other government and say, well, actually, they've told me to say, I really think it's a bit hard, though. I think, actually, if I were you, I'd take it with a pinch of salt. They can't do that. Their role is to speak the words of the government that sent them. So Moses' role to the Pharaoh was to speak the words that God had told him to say. the ambassador role in the New Testament of God's people to other people is to speak the words that God has given. We're not allowed to sell a short gospel. We're not allowed to explain the good news of Jesus just to make it more palatable for people and just try, we'll make it easier. There is a cost to becoming a Christian. And you can't make it easier, because if you do, at some point they'll have to face it later down the line anyway. So the ambassador role for us is to be faithful to what God has said we should say in terms of the good news of Jesus. So here you have the first element of the briefing to Moses. His role as an ambassador. He was to say everything that he's been commanded. Thank you. The result, God says, is that he won't listen. Pharaoh won't listen. Now in chapter 4 and verse 21, God says, Pharaoh, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. In chapter 8, verse 32, it says, this time also Pharaoh hardened his heart. So there's a dual thing going on here about hardening hearts. There's his unwillingness to listen to what God is saying, and God touching this man so that he's not even going to listen anymore. And there are two things. And in one sense, there's some injustice here. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, isn't God being unjust? He's not giving Pharaoh a chance. Pharaoh was never going to listen. Well, that's not actually quite accurate. Because the interesting thing is, it was obviously that question about Pharaoh was obviously raised in the early church in the New Testament. Because in Romans chapter 9, Paul writes about it. This very incident he raises. So he says in Romans 9, if I can just find my passage, 14, here we go. He says, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I have compassion on whom I have compassion. It doesn't therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raise you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. So you have three things happening here. Just remember three things. Whatever happens, God always works to display his power and his glory. That is always number one priority from God's perspective. Power and glory. So in this situation between Moses and Pharaoh, God was going to come and prove himself to be God of gods, King of kings, Lord of all. Number one. Secondly, Pharaoh, for his own part, was never going to listen. Why not? Because he was God in his own country. He was the king. Whatever he said, people did. And actually, the nation of Egypt was doing massively well economically because they had a million people working for barely nothing at all in their industry, making bricks. So all their buildings went up for no cost at all. So he was on a loser if you let the people go. He'd lose economically. And he'd lose with the people. The people wouldn't like him. They'd rebel against him. All kinds of things. This was a massive threat to Pharaoh. None of which was justified, because God needs to be listened to. But listen carefully to this one. When a person continually rejects listening to God, and God is trying to get through, eventually God stops. Because that's in his sovereignty. And it's really clear. So God is absolutely fair to Pharaoh. He gives him the opportunity to listen to what he's saying and to respond positively. And Pharaoh was never going to do it. So here you have Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs like a water course wherever he pleases. This is the sovereignty of God at work in people's lives. And if you don't recognize the sovereignty of God in your life, you need to look a bit stronger, a bit more carefully. Because God works in our life, sometimes in spite of us, not because of us. The lesson for us is to listen when God speaks. We need to listen. We're going to come back to that later. Thank you. So then you come to verses 8 and 9, the staff that slithers. This is wonderful, because it's a repeated sign, of course. In chapter 4 and verse 15, when Moses said to God, "They won't believe me," the sign that God gave to Moses that they would eventually believe him was the staff being thrown onto the floor, it turned into a snake, and then God, with this wonderful sense of humour, saying, "Pick it up by the tail." And so it demanded faith on Moses' part, because you don't pick a snake up by the tail, because if you do, it'll turn around and bite you. That's what snakes can do. They don't have a rigid body, vertebrae, they just turn around. So you pick up behind the head, don't you? But God said, I think God's humour is amazing. He said, you know, pick it up by the tail. Well, of course, as soon as he obeyed, had the faith to do it, do what God said to do, it turned back into a staff, it was okay. So that's the first one. So this is a repeated sign. Chapter 6 and verse 30, why should Pharaoh listen to me? Moses is back on his kind of repeated problem about, I don't know what to say, they won't listen to me. One of the things is that he knew the Egyptian culture. You've got to remember, he'd spent 40 years in an Egyptian palace. He knew the culture and he knew the religious culture. And it was a nasty religious culture. It was not a nice one. And he was very aware of it. And it was a sign of God's power that he wanted to show to Moses. Look, I'm going to do something miraculous in your sight. Take the staff with you. That's why, if you go back to earlier, we read that the end of the commissioning, take the staff with you. Because this is what it's going to be like. This is the staff that slithered. Thank you. And then you have the encounter. This is the second encounter of Moses and Aaron with Pharaoh. And notice it says that they did just as the Lord commanded. So here you have two people listening to God and doing what he says to do. Doesn't prevaricate, doesn't make excuses, doesn't do a half-hearted job. They just do what the Lord has commanded them. And Aaron throws his staff down, and it turns into a snake. But Pharaoh isn't fazed by that. So he whistles, brings his sorcerers in, and says, "Show him, guys." So there were a lot of them, so they threw their staffs down, and theirs turned into snakes. And you say, ha, it's a story. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. What you understand is, there are spiritual forces in this world that are not of God, and they are powerful. This is a power encounter, and it's the first one of 10 power encounters that lasts over a period of 6 months. Who is God in heaven, and who has the greater authority? That's what this is about. And Pharaoh has to understand that God has the greater power than any of the gods of Egypt. And God is going to take them one by one, these gods of Egypt, the gods of the Nile, the gods of the cattle, the gods of the land. And he's going to demonstrate over the next 9 power encounters after this, he is king, not Pharaoh. And it's the fear that will eventually allow Pharaoh to say, the people can go. So this is a major, major power encounter with spiritual forces that are opposed to God. So they're on the ground and they're going around the place. Now, in Egyptian culture, the staff of the priest, the sorcerer, the wise man, was a sign of authority. This culture was a sign of authority. So the fact that Aaron's snake ate up the other snakes is symbolic of taking the authority away from the priests and the wise men and the sorcerers of Egypt. And Pharaoh would have understood that. And the priest would have understood that. So you go to something like Isaiah chapter 40. This is a fantastic chapter on the greatness of God. Let me just read you some verses from here. Isaiah 40 verses 21 to 26. I should have marked this in my Bible before I started. Here we go. Verse 21. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Hasn't it been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. It's people like grasshoppers. He stretched out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they, these princes of the world, planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than God blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes, look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. This is the power encounter of the God of heaven, the eternal, omnipotent, all-powerful God with the gods of the Egyptians over his own people who were slaves in Egypt. And he wants them away from slavery to freedom. This is massive. This is a huge issue for a man who said to God, please send someone else. And he's standing in front of the king of Egypt. And he's God is demonstrating through him, God to Pharaoh, God is stronger. God is more powerful. God will take any authority away that stands against him. That's what this is about. Thank you. So you have a response in verse 13 of Exodus 7. It says, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and he wouldn't listen to them. He wouldn't listen to God. And here you've got to remember that signs are not a guarantee of a positive response. Doesn't mean because they see something miraculous, it's all going to be okay, now you'll believe. Chapter 7, verse 3, early on in the chapter, God says, though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard. So he saw the sign and still said no. No, can't go. And it's very interesting that in Luke chapter 12, in the New Testament, the religious leaders of the day said to Jesus, show us a sign. Give us a sign of who you are. And Jesus says, even after Jesus did all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. So Pharaoh wasn't on his own. The religious leaders of the day, of Jesus' day, still didn't believe, though they saw some wonderful things happen. Today's the same. Signs are not a guarantee that someone will give their heart over to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Because there's something in their heart that says no. No. My way, not God's way. I want to do it my way. So I suppose the question is, who are we willing to listen to? You willing to listen when God speaks? There's this lovely verse in Psalm 95, it's not really a lovely verse at all, really. It's a bit of a difficult one, really. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's not talking about Pharaoh. It's not even talking about the religious leaders of Jesus' day. It's talking about the people of God. He's addressing the people who are worshipping God, who follow him. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. I want to follow that theme through for a minute or two, if you don't mind. Here we go. Thank you. What are the influences to harden heart? Before I get to that, let me just do this one. There are probably lots of people in here. And there may be some people here tonight, and you've been coming to church for a few weeks, or you've been talking with a Christian friend for a few weeks, and they said, oh, come on to church. And you've come to church, and it's great to see you. You know, I mean, it's a bit culturally unusual, isn't it? You know, stand to sing and all the rest of it. You know, kind of, we don't necessarily jump around as you do at football matches. But so culturally, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? But it could be, you see, that over the few weeks that have been in the, you know, when you've been talking with a Christian friend and just asking questions, and your friend's been a bit difficult in replying to them, and it's been a bit, but anyway, you're interested, so you came tonight. In that time, I wonder if you have heard God speak to you. Now, it's not an audible voice. I don't think God necessarily, I mean, you know, God does not, I don't hear God speaking to me. Once in my life, I've heard God speak to me audibly. Just once. Years ago. He called me by name. Amazing. Anyway, so, but he doesn't do that normally. So what does it mean to hear God speak? What does it mean to listen to him? It means the heart begins to respond to God beginning to say to you, you've got to think about this. This is serious. Do you really know who I am? Do you really know who you are? And the great thing about it is this. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, let the God who said, let light shine in darkness, meaning creation, will shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. God can do that. He can take a heart and make it new. A new heart I'll give you, a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll take out of your flesh a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, meaning a soft heart, a tender heart, a heart renewed by God, because begun to recognize that God is doing something. God is trying to get through to me here about who Jesus is, about what he's done at the cross. And there is a wonderful promise. There is a wonderful promise in that, that God can give you a new heart. For others of us sitting here, we've been Christians, what, a year? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I've just hit 51 years this year as a Christian. Fantastic. It's great. Never change it. Wonderful. Never exchange it for anything. But listen, there are certain things that can harden a person's heart. One is time. Those years of just keep coming to church and doing the same things, you know, reading my Bible, praying. Actually, it can get so familiar. So traditional. So cultural. And we can get familiar with the gospel. You know, you come Sunday by Sunday, and hopefully Sunday by Sunday you hear, you hear what it means to be a Christian. You hear the good news of Jesus and you think it's wonderful. But actually, it's in one ear and out the other. Oh no, not quite. But it never quite gets to the heart. It just stays up here. Some sort of theological exercise. Oh yeah, I understand the gospel. But we're talking about heart here, as well as mind. We're talking about a heart that is soft toward God, tender toward him, so that God, when he speaks to us, can whisper and not hit us with a sledgehammer first to get our attention. Because that's what God will do. He'll speak and speak and speak, and he wants to talk. He wants to communicate through his word, by his spirit, to our minds and our hearts. And we go through the motions, but it never touches the heart. And actually what happens is we have masses of responsibility. We're busy in the church, we're busy in work, we're busy at home, loads of responsibility, all kinds of things crowding in us. And what happens is that faith begins to atrophy, begins to shrink. And actually, I get really tough and hard toward God. And I go through the motions. I'm here every Sunday. And I go to the midweek meeting. I might even go to the prayer meeting once a month on a Saturday morning. It was a great time yesterday, actually. But you know what I mean? You go through the motions, but it never gets to the heart, because something has begun to happen that begins to get tough and hard. And one day, something happens, and we don't like it, and we turn around to God and shake our fist and walk away. And the difference between Moses and Pharaoh was that Moses listened to God and did what God asked him to do. And Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And it's not easy. It really isn't easy. Thank you. Is that it, is it? Is that the last one? Good. Thank you. I thought it was, but I just was checking. And if you weave that, you weave anything. We're going to sing. I want to talk about this for a minute, because I think this is actually really serious. And could I just also say and remind those who are going to serve communion, don't come up during the singing of the song. Come up afterwards. We'll give you a couple of minutes to sort it out, okay? Because what I want to do is I want to just to talk a little bit about what we're going to sing about. Because this song, to me, expresses three issues. It tells me who I am. It tells me who I can become. And it tells me who God is and all that he's done for me. And I think if God wants to touch your heart and soften your heart tonight from being quite hard and almost kind of like keeping God at a distance, this is the thing that will do it. So let me just explain this to you. You know Jesus talked to Nicodemus. And he said to him, Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you remember? It's in John 3. You remember that? Well, the story is that in Numbers 14, the people were in the desert, and they were camping, and snakes came into the camp, and they began to bite people, and the people who were bitten by the snakes began to die, because these were venomous snakes. And Moses said to God, "What do I do?" And God said, "It's really easy. You take a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, stick the pole in the middle of the camp, and say to people, look at the serpent and live." Bit irrational. That's what he did. So he said, look and live. Or don't look and die. So some looked and lived. And some didn't and died. And Jesus said, just as that happened then, so must the Son of Man, Jesus himself, be lifted up, and the inference is, look and live. Don't look and die. It's the same application. And the thing about developing a soft heart is to continually look at the cross. Because when you look at the cross, we see who we are. So the writer said, how amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you believe you're a wretch? Or do you believe you're respectable? Good person. Not as bad as other people. Probably worse than some. Not as good as others. It's okay. Well, we can live with that. No. Biblically, we're a wretch. Even Paul said it. Oh, wretched man that I am. We're a wretch. We don't, you know, in the presence of God, we just can't even look at him. We've rebelled. We've said no to him. I've become God in my own life. And that can happen. I've been a Christian years and it can happen. Because I begin to replace God in my heart. So I'll see who I am. But then listen to the exchange that God offers. Lost and found, blind and see, chains and free. And you may think, oh, hang on, there's a transformation here. There's an offer here that God is giving to us. And do I really understand that? Do I continue to look at that and think about that? And then you begin to read, the Lord has promised good to me. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me. Do you feel ransomed? Or are you so familiar with everything that it doesn't matter anymore? It doesn't touch you anymore? He's ransomed me like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to sing the song together. And then when we sing it, do sit down. Those who are going to serve will come and take the cloth off the table and get ready to serve us communion. But while they're doing that, just take a couple of minutes and sit down and ask yourself the question, when is the last time I took a long, hard look at the cross? And actually, is my heart in the condition it needs to be? Has God replaced my heart of stone with a soft heart? Do I want him to do that? How sensitive am I to listen to him? How loud does he have to speak to me to get my attention? Or can he whisper? Because actually I'm listening. So let's stand to sing. Grace song. Amazing grace. Thank you. do sit down.